Glory to God. Let's ask the Lord to bless the word to our hearts this morning. Father, we just come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask you to bless this message this morning. Help us to have understanding, Father, about what it means to be sanctified. We praise you and believe you now, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Glory to God. Well, this word sanctification is not used a lot of times in the Bible. In the New Testament, it's used four times. Three times by Apostle Paul and once by Peter, Apostle Peter. And that doesn't mean that it isn't important, because the meaning of the word of sanctification in the Greek, this is what it means. It means separation. And maybe you didn't think about that as sanctification, but it one of the meanings is separation. One of the meanings of it is consecration. Do we know what that word means? We give ourselves. We consecrate our life to the Lord. We say, I'm here, Lord, and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to walk with you. It also means to, as separation, means setting apart. Setting apart a people for the name of the Lord, for the work of the Lord. And it also means to make holy and purify, to make holy and purify. Now, there's a doctrine in the world that's been going on a long, long time that you have to be saved and then sanctified and then filled with the Holy Spirit. And these folks brag about that. They'll get up and testify. I've heard them do that in churches that I've been in sometime in my life. And they say, I've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And you wonder, well, what does that mean? Well, actually, all of us who know Jesus Christ are sanctified. God has called us. He has separated us from the world. He has given us all that we have. He's made us holy in his sight. He's purified us. He's working us through in our lives to purify us and cause us to grow in Christ. So this is a very wonderful thing that God has done for us. Sanctification. He not only just saved us initially, but he began a work in our life to separate us from the things of the world, to separate us from our walking in the flesh, not yielding to the Spirit. And this work actually was done on the cross. Jesus Christ set aside a people for his namesake who would believe in him and follow him and yielding their lives as these consecrated ones. I hope all of you understand consecrated. That means you determine, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to follow the Lord, and I follow the Lord because I'm consecrated to God. Praise the Lord. So I was thinking about the Old Testament, and I thought about how God set aside one tribe to be the tribe that would be the ones who would run the tabernacle. They helped to build the tabernacle. They were the priests of the Levites. And there was several different families of those Levites. Some of those Levites of that tribe of Levi, of the 12 tribes of Abraham on down, Isaac, Jacob, the sons, 12 sons of Jacob, yes. Some of them just carried things. Every time they would move in the wilderness, they had wagons that have to load up the tabernacle, get it in there. That was their job. They never went into the tabernacle and offered a sacrifice or anything like that. It wasn't their job. But God had them designated as people that were set apart to do a certain thing. So they were sanctified. In the Old Testament, there is the word sanctify, but not very often. Okay, some of the priests, it was their job to go into the tabernacle and do various things like offering sacrifices. The burnt offering, which had to be all the time, it burned all day long and all night long on the sacrifice of the burnt offering, burnt sacrifice out there, the burnt altar. And other of the priests who were higher up in another branch of those Levites did most of the job inside of the tabernacle. And of course, he only had one high priest, and the high priest at the beginning was Aaron, and he had this place that God had given him that once a year he would go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the Ark of the Covenant to roll their sins forward a whole year. There was a rolling forth of the sins that are atoned for a year. And of course, then all the time they had to offer sin, offering for sins and everything else outside too. But there was those particular, we think of the word sanctification, and it really shows up in that sense that they were separated, they were consecrated, they were set apart from the other people in the Israelite community. They wouldn't thought of somebody from the tribe of Asher, somebody to go up and offer a sacrifice. If they did that, they would have been smitten dead. God had this group of people that were his sanctified ones, okay? So there are two phases, as far as our salvation, of sanctification. The first part of it is God's provision. He is the one that instituted this way of salvation, that the Lord Jesus Christ would die for our sins, and it would set apart a people for his namesake. It would sanctify and bring a group of people that would be his people, his church, and his followers. And it was a provision. It was a work of God that happened. And then the other side of it is the practical side. We say practical, meaning that each one of us has to agree and follow the Lord. God reckons we're all the children of God because it's by faith. But he wants us then to walk as children of God. And that's the practical side of sanctification. And Jesus said this in John 17:9. This was his prayer to his Father right before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane with the disciples. And he said this, "And for their sake," speaking of those who believe in him, "I sanctify myself that they might be sanctified." Now, it means he had agreed to the plan. He set himself apart from other humans. He was not like other humans, was he? He had God as his real, genuine Father. The initiation of his birth was by the Holy Spirit. And so he was set apart for this job where he would come forth and be the Redeemer, the Savior of the world. And then there in that prayer, right before he was going to the Garden of Gethsemane, that's what that 17th chapter of John is. And he knew what was ahead. He knew that he was going to be taken in that garden. That was a place that he often went with his disciples, spend the night and pray and all of those things. But he knew this time was different. This was a time that he would be chosen by God. Of course, he was already, but set apart for this special purpose of being captured there. Yes. So, again, to sanctify, as he says there, "I sanctify myself." See, he had already given himself to God. He was the Son of God. But to sanctify himself means that he gave himself over to be this holy, consecrated person that would bear the sin of the whole world. So he was consecrated to God. He was sanctified to God. And in his prayer there, he was praying to the Father, he said, that they might be sanctified. Us, we're included in that prayer. He wants us to be set apart unto himself, be sanctified. This is not like this group that I mentioned to you says that it's a second definite work of grace, that you have to have this experience. From that time on, you are holy. Well, we know we have an old nature, don't we? So unless we walk with us in the Spirit all the time, eventually the old nature is going to be seen. It isn't like what they're saying about that you could just get some kind of holy thing and you'd never commit sin anymore. But we have victory because we are the ones who are set apart unto God. And that victory will come about more and more in our lives. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews to chapter 10. This book of Hebrews, most of us know why it's called Hebrews. It was written to the Jews. Paul wanted his Jewish brethren to come and see the message of the grace of God like he believed it, as he saw it. Praise the Lord. The 10th chapter of Hebrews, we're going to begin reading with verse 5. Wherefore, Paul is saying, speaking about Jesus Christ, wherefore, when he, Jesus Christ, cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. See, his body, as he said, he was sanctified. He was given over to the will of God in his life. And this body was sanctified and set apart. That's found in Psalms, by the way. He's quoting Psalms here. Psalms 40, verse 8, is where this is found in the Old Testament, a prophecy of Christ. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Do you ever think about that? All those things that they were doing back there. Sometimes they would goof up and do the wrong thing. And then God would have to kill somebody because he told them that you do a certain thing back here behind this veil and you don't do something else. Now, we don't really have a record that someone was killed in there because they were pretty careful. But we understood that they had a hook that they could grab underneath the veil and pull somebody out by the leg if they'd made a mistake, maybe were laying in there dead. What a thing. How would you like that? If you got up here and prayed at the altar and you made a mistake in your prayer and the Lord sap you. Aren't we glad we're in the grace age? Praise the Lord. Now go down to verse 9. Then said he, still speaking of Christ, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. What's he talking about? He takes away the first. Paul is teaching in this book of Hebrews that we're not under the law, but we're under grace. The law was for 1,500 years, but when Christ came and died on that cross and fulfilled all of these prophecies of his sacrifice he would give, it delivered us from trying to in ourselves keep the law. You know that we can't do that anyway. We can't because we're not Jewish and we don't have any way to offer sacrifices. We have to be dependent on Christ's sacrifice, don't we? So he says here that Jesus said, lo, I come to do your will, Lord God. And then verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. By the which will? What will? That Christ wasn't dependent on Old Testament rituals or anything like that. And when he brought this salvation to us, it isn't dependent on trying to be a Jew, trying to go back under their laws. It's totally by the grace of God, by trusting in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. By the which will? What will is he talking about? The will of God. There's only one true will that we want to follow. He's talked about it in verse 9. I come to do thy will, O God. So by that will of God, we are sanctified. That means God set us apart to be his children. It's a divine thing. He called us. He gave us the opportunity to receive Christ. And we are set apart, sanctified unto God. Set apart for his pleasure, for his will. Praise the Lord. He made us with a holy new creation, H-O-L-Y, a holy new life. Christ in us, the holy life of Christ. That's what happened when it says there that he sanctified by the will of God. He sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. And that verse, that is so important. There are a lot of people in this world that think that they have to be saved over and over and over. Oh, I goofed. I got to get saved again. Oh, I didn't make it. I tried real hard and I couldn't make it. So I'm going to have to beg God to save me again. But he plainly says that it is once this blessing of God, sanctification, that God set us apart to be his children. We receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is once for all. Hallelujah. Once for all. The penalty of sin was paid by the Lord Jesus Christ for all who believe. And this sanctification is provided. Hallelujah. Now, there is the provision where all believers are set apart unto God. And then there's the practical side, that is that we learn to walk and yield to God and walk in that sanctification, okay? So when we were born again, we were sanctified. Let's go ahead and read verse 10. He says there, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, one time for all, going on down to verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. What do we make by that? Time to rest. The work is all done. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God because the work is done. He doesn't have to come back and die again for our sins. Nor do we have to die for our sins. Not our place. That was all made possible by Jesus Christ. The holy life of Christ in me caused me to have a new birth, born again by the power of God. And he separated us unto himself. Praise the Lord. Separated us from sin and to being a separated child of the living God. Praise the Lord. And forgiven. In Hebrews, while we're here in Hebrews, let's look at chapter 13, verse 12. Chapter 13, verse 12. He mentions, here he's talking about the Old Testament and how they had to offer the animals. In verse 11, the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. They would offer the blood, and then many of them were taken without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the camp. That's where he died, with outside of the camp, wasn't it? Yes. So let's turn then in our Bible to 2 Thessalonians 2. There's another scripture here where Paul uses this word, sanctify. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. My Bible's getting so old, the pages stick together. Okay. 2nd chapter, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, God from the beginning has chosen us to salvation through sanctification. By this way of separating, making us a child of God and giving us his righteousness, giving us this new birth, and separating us and consecrating us unto himself. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? That's what he has done. Glory to God. From the foundation of the world, we were in his plan and in his mind. There's a song that goes that way. I was in his mind before the worlds were made. I was in his mind. Isn't that amazing? Your name, by you by name, by person. you, God knew you would become a child of God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Praise the Lord. And in verse 14, because he chose us, and the benefits of our believing are eternal salvation. We don't have to be saved twice. Most everybody knows that are here in this room. You don't have to be saved like my former brother-in-law got up and testified he'd been saved like 8 times and filled with the Holy Spirit 12 times or something. And I was just a child. I was thinking, that's not right. And he made us new in Christ. He gave us a new life of Christ. He set us apart. That's what sanctified means. He set us apart from the world. We're no longer of the world. This world is not my home. Not your home either. We belong to Christ. And he positioned us as the children of God in the heavenly places, even though we haven't already got there. That's going to be our place. We are going to be in the heavens. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. We're going to begin reading with verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's those that are not born again. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So this is what God has done for us. We were sinners. We were just like anybody else in the world. But he says, you were like this too, but you've been washed. See, the blood of Jesus Christ, the scripture says, washes us from all sin. It takes away the guilt of sin from us. We are sanctified. There's that word again, to make holy. To separate us. He separated us and he made us holy before him. You are justified. For many years we've used the term just as if I'd never sinned. That is the position we are in because of being justified. The Lord has rolled the guilt away, has taken the guilt of sin away from us, and we are justified. Praise the Lord. So the word sanctified here means to make holy, to purify, and to consecrate. And this is an inward work of the Holy Spirit. When we were born again, we are made righteous in God's sight. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. So that's a wonderful message in itself, just to talk about that in Jesus we are given wisdom, we are given righteousness, we're given the separation unto the Lord, and we are given redemption. He paid the price that we couldn't pay. The only price that could have been paid to save us. So now we're going to talk about experimental sanctification. Sanctification, the deliverance from the power of sin, the power of sin. The Lord wants us to walk, to learn to walk with him in the Spirit. So turn with me to Colossians, chapter 1 of Colossians. Chapter 3 of Colossians. This chapter is just such a precious chapter. I'm going to start reading in verse 1, and then we'll just highlight some of the text later. But if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your passions, your all of these things, your mind, set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We're dead to sin because of what Christ did on the cross for us. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And then he talks about this. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. What does it mean to mortify your members? It means give them over to death. Now, Christ died that we might be forgiven of our sins. We, as a believer, have two natures. And one nature of us is Christ in us, that we have victory and we have strength and we can walk in the Spirit, yielding to God. The other side, though, is that old nature that is still there. And so Paul is saying here, mortify or give over to death your members. He's talking about your fleshly body, which is upon the earth, because it does bad things. If we don't walk in the Spirit, we will do things in our bodies that are not right before God. As he lists here, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, that's unnatural affection, evil concupiscence, the word concupiscence, I don't use that word in my vocabulary, I don't think you do either, but the word concupiscence means evil desires. And so he says, evil desires and covetousness, I think we all know what that is, which is idolatry. All of these things are the flesh of the old nature that we still have. We have an old nature. That's why sometimes we may say things we shouldn't and do things we shouldn't. We have the life of Christ in us, we've been made a new creation, but we have that old nature still. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. So, let's go on down then to verse 9. He says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So he's saying, put off that kind of stuff because it's not of God. It doesn't honor God. Begin reading in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. It means from your inner being, be merciful. Let the life of Christ be manifest through your body. Let that mercy come shining out of you. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which actually is the word love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Yes, so all of these are wonderful admonitions to us about learning to this practical side of salvation. Yes, we have been set aside. We have all of these wonderful things that God has done for us set in a due place there in the heavenly places in Christ, and he has provided all things for us. But he wants us in turn then to give ourselves to the Lord and all the things of the flesh. Judge it what it is. It is the flesh. It is not something we just love to do, is it? It's the old nature. In 1 Thessalonians 4, let's look there. We're going to read a few verses here. 1 Thessalonians 4. Beginning with verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. And we were talking about sanctification. We're going to have that in our text here in a moment. But see, in God's provision, he sanctified us and has set us apart. We are the children of the living God. Now, in the other side of the gospel, which is this practical side, is that we learn to then walk in the Spirit. Walk and let him have his way in our lives. As Paul admonishes here, to receive us, how of us, he says, you received of us how you ought to walk and please God. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, this is that practical side of the sanctification. As we walk with God and we give our bodies as living sacrifices, as it says there in Romans 12:1, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, we learn, okay, what does God want? He wants us to show love to one another. He wants us to forgive one another. He wants us to walk in the Spirit and let him have full control of our life. And that is part of sanctification. It's what we call the practical side. We are sanctified unto God in his provision. Notice there in verse 3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Praise the Lord. Your yieldedness to God, your giving yourself over, being separated to the Lord and to God's use. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of us have ever said to the Lord, Lord, is there something you want me to do for you? Is there something that you want me to be used in for you? See? There is a way there, isn't there, that the Lord wants. Praise the Lord. So yielding to the Holy Spirit and submitting to the Lord and coming under the Lord's authority, casting ourselves on the Lord, not self-effort or self-endurance. It's a process that's taking place daily as we yield our bodies to the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's sanctification. It's practical. Like he says in Romans 6, he says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And so we all find out we can't do it in ourselves. We can't do it in ourselves. You can determine you're not going to do some bad thing, and you find that you will do it. But when we really fully give everything over to the Lord, then he's going to give us that strength and that victory. There's one more scripture I want to read, and that's 2 Corinthians 6:17. Go there with me, 2 Corinthians 6:17. Paul here saying, wherefore, come out from among them and be you separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, this is not pertaining to salvation here. Receiving, you know, there's a fellowship that happens between the Father and us. And sometimes when we don't walk in the Spirit like we should, that fellowship is like it's kind of ragged. It's that we don't have, we just can't. We have a conviction, and we can't really fully come to the Lord and just say, here I am, you know, and we feel that the Lord may be displeased with us. But this is speaking of that. But he wants us to be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. That's part of the practical sanctification that each one of us has to have in our lives to be fully yielded to God. So I hope that this has meant something to you today. It's not a message of condemnation. It's a message of victory We have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ over whatever it is that bugs us. And we all are different people. Whatever it is, he's always faithful. Glory to God.